Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all on this 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Welcome also to all who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for worshiping with us today. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon, and this Mass is being offered for the living and deceased members of the Outreach Mass community.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Our readings speak of division, of divisiveness. In some sense, all sin is division. It's rebellion against God's order and plan and harmony. And so as we prepare to celebrate these sacred mysteries which unite us as one in the body of Christ, one in his body, one in his blood, let us repent of any such divisions and ask the Lord to gather us and gather his flock together. I confess to Almighty God
and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have prayed in sin, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, and in what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my fault.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. O God, who have prepared for those who love you good things which no eye can see, fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of your love, so that, loving you in all things and above all things, we may attain your promises, which surpass every human desire. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. In those days, the princes said to the king, "Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He's not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin." King Zedekiah answered, "He is in your power, for the king could do nothing with them." And so they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of Prince Malchiah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. Ebed-Melech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, "My lord king, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern. He will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city." Then the king ordered Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
upon a rock, made my footsteps firm. Lord, come to my aid. Lord, come to my aid. He put a new song into my mouth. Shall trust in the Lord. Lord, come to my aid. Lord, come to my aid. Wretched and poor though I am, the Lord is mindful of me. You are my rescuer, my help. O my God, do not delay. Lord, come to my aid. Lord, come to my aid.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. The word of the Lord.
Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and his son against his father, a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. Sadly, how little things change. We live in a world that is divided, that is broken. Battle lines are drawn in all sorts of ways between partisan politics and ideologies, between ethnicities and races, divided along economic disparities and such. When Jesus said, "The poor will be with you always," it was a sad fact. It isn't a compliment that the poor are with us always. It is a reality of our sinfulness. All sin is some form of division. We put ourselves first, and we put God and our neighbor second. And it grows from there. What is the ironic part is that Jesus even owns part of that division, which is terribly ironic because the whole point of Jesus' coming into our human family, into our human world, is to heal it, to reconcile it. He commands us in the Beatitudes, be the reconcilers, be the peacemakers. He himself comes as the Prince of Peace to unite us and return our hearts back to God the Father. He makes us one body and one blood in his Eucharistic body and blood. He is the ultimate peacemaker and reconciler, and yet he is very blunt about the fact that he is going to cause contention and division. Some are going to follow him and some are not, and yet he must call us, even if in the short run that creates its own tension within families, within communities, within society at large. We see the same problem with Jeremiah the prophet. It's not easy being a prophet. Most of the prophets get martyred for a good reason. It's an unpleasant task. Prophets arise when the people need them, when the people have strayed from the Lord, strayed from their covenantal relationship, turned their back on God. The prophets are there to call them back to the truth, lest something worse befall them. A pretty ironclad rule is if you don't use the gifts of God well, as God intends, at some point you may just lose those gifts. All 12 of the tribes of Israel at some point lose the gift of the promised land. That land flowing with milk and honey, at some point they all get exiled at one point for the infidelity. They're not faithful to God's covenant, and so therefore they lose the promised land and are exiled for a time. And Jeremiah is warning them. He is in the midst of Jerusalem, the besieged city. The enemies are at the gate. And God's message to the people is surrender. I have handed you over to your enemies. Until you learn your lesson, you will be a vassal state. That's your best offer. And nobody wants to hear it. But we have the temple. But we have the Ark of the Covenant. But God is in our midst. They're relying on the Lord without listening to the Lord. And so they fight until the walls of the city are breached, and then Jerusalem gets destroyed, and they get exiled, and even that beautiful temple of Solomon gets burnt to the ground because they put their trust in the Lord without really having a relationship with the Lord. They just assumed, took for granted, that God would always defend them, regardless of whether or not they lived the covenant.
It was a foolish bargain. And so, rather than listening to the prophet, they shoot the messenger, so to speak. They silence Jeremiah and do their own thing until they lose the city. The Lord had offered them a better deal, to be under the Chaldeans. They didn't take that offer, and it got worse. Sometimes speaking the truth is its own cause of division. Division, by and large, is never a good thing, right? It might be sometimes necessary in the short term, but it's never a good thing. Generally, if we look at God's plan, God is a force of unity, uniting us in committed, sacrificial love. God is calling us together. God is healing our divisions, reconciling us, calling us to be peacemakers. Again, the Eucharist is an ultimate sign of the unity of God's kingdom, overcoming all of our disparities and differences, uniting us as one family, giving us blood kinship in the very blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Lord wants to bring us together into unity and harmony and love and respect for one another. And of course, the devil is just throwing wrenches at the whole enterprise. Factions, divisions, gossip, backbiting, slander, all the way up to full-on chaos and conflict and war. That's the apex of sin and rebellion and division. It's when you reach war. That's the apex of sinfulness in its rebellion. And yet, the Lord is doing something with that, writing straight on crooked lines and showing us a new way. Now, when you listen to Jesus, he talks about two ways, and it's a common theme. You'll see it throughout the Old Testament. Moses spoke of two ways in Deuteronomy. Joshua spoke of two ways to the Israelites when they had settled the promised land. He said, you can go your own way and serve the idols of this land, or you can serve the Lord who has brought you to this land. I can't tell you what to do, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That theme of two ways continues, and Jesus picks up on it. And he talks about, well, there's an easy path, a wide open path. It's well paved. It's easy to travel. It asks nothing of you. You can do as you please, whatever your little heart desires. But it will lead you away from God, the source of all life, and it will lead you to destruction. Or there's a more difficult path. It's a narrow way. It's a little difficult. It's not easy to find. It's a pick up your cross and follow me sort of path, but it leads to life and life eternal. And when Jesus talks about that path, he identifies with it. I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. And there's something didactic about that. It's an order of operations. On the surface, you think picking up your cross doesn't sound very life-giving. And yet you pick up your cross when you're yoked to Christ, our Lord and Savior, our healer, the source of life. Suddenly, you experience, yeah, this way, there's something true about it. It's right. It's actually life-giving. The way, the truth, the life, you start to see that. Once you take that leap of faith onto the way to pick up your cross and follow the Lord. Our readings all speak of that. Our second reading is Hebrews. And the letter to the Hebrews is talking about running the race. It's talking about being on that way. It's a different way. It's not the way the rest of the world's going. It's a difficult way. And because it's a difficult way, you gotta lighten the load. Just like if you're in a marathon, you don't want to be carrying a backpack. It's a marathon. You're gonna be there for a while. You want to lighten the load along the way. Anything you don't need. Lighten your load of your worldliness, your attachments, your sinfulness, all that is keeping you from running the race to the kingdom successfully. Lighten the load. Lighten the load. Jesus talks about that in ways. He talks about narrow gates, right? Like a camel trying to pass through an eye of a needle. What's the beauty of a narrow gate? You can't take your baggage. You're just going to squeeze through. Suck it in, right? Suck it into the best of your ability. Just squeeze your way through. Can't have all your baggage and your backpacks and your stuff and your attachments. Let go. Let it go. Just squeeze through. Lighten the load. Run the race for Christ. He already gives you a bit of a cross as is. The cross of living that standard of trying to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. There's a little bit of a cross with that. Don't take on unnecessary burdens. Keep it simple. Travel light. This isn't your home. Don't overattach yourself to a whole bunch of stuff that you can't take with you out of this world to the next anyways. Don't take anything more than you need. Travel light. Jesus speaks of this in a matter of fact. He's talking about wanting to bring fire to the earth. And again, fire is a beautiful image of purifying. Refiner's fire, you see that throughout the Old Testament, in the Book of Wisdom. The refiner's fire that purifies the gold, it heats it up until the impurities rise to the surface and can be skimmed off, and then the gold is even more valuable, more beautiful, more perfect, more complete. And the Lord, by his passion, his death, his resurrection, is going to open up a font of mercy, a font of baptism to take away the sins of the world, to purify our hearts, to lighten our load of all the worldliness and the sinfulness and the brokenness and the guilt and the shame and the burdens and the self-loathing that comes with it, that we might travel lighter, that we might pick up our cross and be more steady at it and follow him, the way, the truth, and the life, into the fullness of the kingdom. St. John the Baptist speaks of that when the crowd asks St. John the Baptist, like, are you the Messiah? And he says, no, he must increase, I must decrease. I'm not the Messiah. I baptize with water. He will baptize with, what does he say? Fire and the Holy Spirit. That fire, which is an image of the burning of God's love. Think of that beautiful Holy Spirit prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Come, fire of divine love, fill us with a greater love for God and neighbor. Convict us of the ways that we might be a source of disunity, whether we're aware of it or not. And if that's the disunity of us following Christ, well, we'll accept that for a minute. It's not perfect. We're maybe not happy with it. But somebody's got to follow the narrow way just to lead by example and say, hey, come follow me. If we seek to preserve unity to the extent that we are all following the wrong path, well, that doesn't help anybody, does it? So the disunity the Lord is talking about is that we follow him. And for a moment, people may not get us, people may not understand us, people may not be pleased with us, they may make fun of us, they may mock us, maybe even persecute for a minute, but we're showing them a different way. We're hoping by our patience, by our love, by our mercy, we'll win them over so that they will join us on the way of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But may the Holy Spirit convict us of ways that maybe are divisive and not of God. Divisions born out of fear, divisions born out of dislike, anger, or hatred, or resentment and bitterness. Divisions which are born out of envy and jealousy. You know the difference. Envy is when you want what somebody else has. Hence, we say the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. It's just crabgrass, but it always looks greener on the other side of the fence. Hence, I am green with envy. Jealousy is when you have something and you're afraid that somebody else is going to take it from you. Somebody else is going to take my job. Somebody else is going to take my position. Somebody else is going to take my fame. Somebody else is going to take my fortune. Somebody else is going to take my significant other. We often use those two words interchangeably, but there's a little difference. Envy is I'm upset that somebody else has something and I want what they have. I'm coveting what they have. Jealousy is I've already got it, but I'm kind of on pins and needles that somebody else might take that from me. And it's stealing my peace. And so I'm putting them down. I'm trash talking them because I'm afraid that they're going to replace me. Again, it's fear driving the bus. And so may the Holy Spirit convict us if that is part of our lives. Again, division and disunity, it's never a good thing. But if it's a temporary disunity because we're stepping out in faith to follow the Lord, then may we lead, and may we lead well. And in good time, by our prayers, by our sacrifices, by our fasting, by our encouragement, may even the discontents come follow. And may we all seek that narrow way, picking up our cross, following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might come to the perfection of unity, which is the kingdom. Heaven. It's the perfection of our unity with God and neighbor. It's what we seek. This Eucharistic banquet is a foretaste of that. As we grow in unity in Jesus' body and his blood, his body broken for us, his blood outpoured for us, to become one family in Christ, to have blood kinship, to overcome our differences, and to ultimately come to perfection in God. Amen. My friends, let us stand and profess that faith which unites us, brings us to unity in the church, the body of Christ. We pray, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God. Through him all things were made. For us and him for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our salvation, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is the Lord glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess my baptism for the living of sins, the holy glories of the church of heaven, the life of the world to come.
We lift up our needs to the Lord, trusting in his profound love and care for us.
For the church, may the Lord pour out his Spirit upon her, sanctifying her in truth and love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all nations and people of the world, may the Lord bring peace and justice to every land. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who are grieving the loss of a loved one, may the generous love of God comfort them in their sorrow. Let us pray to the Lord. For all of us gathered here, may the Lord inspire us to follow his ways with greater fidelity. Let us pray to the Lord. For our brothers and sisters who are ill or infirm, may Jesus be a source of hope, healing, and light, especially Elizabeth Tichvan, Tom Paul, Johanna Aquila, and those listed in our book of prayer, let us pray to the Lord. For all who have died in the light of Christ, may they be counted among the blessed in eternal life with God, especially Father John Rokas, Ursula Rodiger, Orlando Barcoso, Dr. Peter Luia, Jose Guzman, and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we present these prayers to you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Receive our oblation, O Lord, by which is brought about a glorious exchange, that by offering what you have given, we may merit to receive your very self through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For when your children were scattered afar by sin, through the blood of your Son and the power of the Spirit, you gathered them again to yourself, that a people formed as one by the unity of the Trinity, made the body of Christ in the temple of the Holy Spirit, might to the praise of your manifold wisdom be manifest as the church. And so in company with the choirs of angels, we praise you as with joy we proclaim.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, thy God.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, O Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread and, giving you thanks, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to a second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all of the saints at whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and the salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant Leo, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you in your compassionate, merciful Father. Gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world, to our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life. Give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom,
the power, and the glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I'm not worthy. Let us stand and pray. Made partakers of Christ through these sacraments, we humbly implore your mercy, Lord, that conformed to his image on earth, we may merit also to be his co-heirs in heaven, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go announce the gospel of the Lord.
And let us go forth singing number 578, How Great Thou Art, number 578.
Thank you for joining us today for the Outreach Mass. I'm Father Gordon Riegel. Whether or not you are comfortable sharing the faith with others, when you support the Outreach Mass as a disciple, you are sharing the good news with thousands of viewers across Michigan. Please help us to keep the Outreach Mass on the air. You may send donations to Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Thank you for being part of our worshiping community and for sharing the faith. May God bless and keep you.